Welcome to the Supercoach Champions podcast with your hosts, Wilfred Z, Joe Fitz, and other Supercoach champions.
Hello and welcome back to the Supercoach Champions podcast. It's Catfish. I'm back. I'm still alive after, if you heard me the previous day, you may not have been that convinced, but I am still alive and kicking, thankfully, recovering just in time for Magic Round, just almost like a Queensland Origin player making it through camp. I'm joined with Matt White, our 2022 overall champion, doing the double shift this week. So, Matty, thanks for jumping on again.
That's right, mate. You have done your best Cam Munster impersonation, and I think Joe and I took it pretty easy on you last night, so welcome back, mate.
Yeah, look, I was honestly surprised when I get to edit and I was listening through. I was like, you know what? You guys have been pretty nice to me, so I won't go too hard at Joe. Now, I do want to point out something here. It was interesting because Joe and I had previously talked about at Magic Round, maybe we call the bet on Arthur's versus Salmon. And, the winner or loser as such would have to endure the punishment with the rest of the champs joining us for the catch-up. But, yeah, I noticed he reverted back to doing the season-long average. Obviously, him not being there may have played a part in it, but I'd worked out basically with the averages at the moment, basically Salmon needs to score at least 77 points this round just to tie Jesse Arthur's average-wise. And obviously 78-plus would get him ahead of Arthur's. So, convenient. I won't say he's running off to, Liverpool just to avoid suffering the humiliation of a Magic Round punishment, but, you draw your own conclusions on that one, eh?
Yeah, no, I think the chances of Salmon scoring 77 over the next three games are unlikely, let alone in one game, so he's running.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, while we're talking these chumps bets, you and I somehow ended up in a Teddy over and under average of 75. Have you had a look at this one?
Mate, he's 75.7 with a 4 in there. So he tried to help you out, but look, it's going to go down to the wire, I think, Will.
Yeah, look, to be honest, it's a really good line because, as you say, the 4 does help me out because I'm on the unders, you're on the overs, but it's going to be a really interesting watch for the season. So no doubt we'll talk a little bit more about Teddy later today in the rest of this podcast. But yeah, we'll jump straight into it. There is some pretty interesting news overnight. Obviously, Dave Fifita, we'd all thought on his way to the Roosters as of next year, but bit of a DC, bit of a backflip, conveniently to the Titans. They get the rub of the green this time with the backflip, but yeah, he's now chosen to stay for another 2 years. That's pretty big, right?
It's fascinating. I don't understand the rugby league media. Things must just get leaked, right? 2 days ago or however long ago it was a done deal, he was gone. How can so much, he was at the Tigers, Titans, and he's gone to the Roosters, and now he's back. How does so much change in such a short period of time?
Well, it wasn't even a leak. Literally, both clubs confirmed that he was gone. Like, Titans said, Fifita's leaving. Roosters, he's signing, he's joining us 2025. But they do have a 10-day cooling-off period, which is fairly standard with most contracts. But, yeah, it was interesting that because they restricted it to 10 days, but then he's now backflipped and gone and taken up his 2-year player option for the Titans. So maybe it's the money, maybe, I don't know. The Roosters came out and tried to maybe get on the front foot. It sounded petty as, but they came back and said, we heard he had doubts, so we withdrew the offer. We said no. It wasn't Fifita knocking us back. We said no. Yeah, we all know what happened then.
They don't need him really. I think second row forward is Alicia that worries next year with Manu and Suoli'i and Kiri and all those guys gone. So, look, I think it's working out both better for both parties, in my opinion. So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, look, you could break it down in terms of whether the Titans are better off spending that cash on, maybe a spine player or two. But, yeah, I know you guys had a crack at the Titans spine from yesterday's podcast, so I think we can probably leave that alone now. Let's jump straight into it for this week. So crunching the numbers, captaincy chat, and a bit of strategy chat as always. So yeah, let's get stuck in.
Let me clue you in. We need a numbers guy. get Wilfred.
Thanks as always to our good friend Karl McGrath Accountant for sponsoring this segment, Crunching the Numbers. If you want to make sure you're not fudging your numbers when it comes to your taxes, you make sure to get Karl to help you out. So a lot of this number diving stuff for me is, you know, based around my own Supercoach research, the stuff I look at, the stuff I'm trying to dig into to work out my trade plans, my captaincy options, my planning ahead. Now, it's been a few weeks since I've done a bit of a dive into base and base attack. You guys know that I'm a big fan of that in all regards, because I see that as their flaw, right? If their involvement is such that they have the work rate, they get plenty of base, and then obviously every time they take a run or make a tackle, you know, they get points for that. But every time they take a run, if they, you know, are effective with it, they bust a tackle or they can find an offload, that's what I describe as base attack, and it's obviously really effective. You know, guys like Dave Fifita are really good because every time they take a run, they might not run that many times, but when they do, their run is not just 1 point or 2 points for the 8 meters, but it's another, you know, 2 or 4 points with the tackle bust. And then if they find an offload at the end of it, that one runs all of a sudden 8 to 10 points, which is obviously gold for Supercoach. So that's why I like doing it. So I'm going to have a look at, I guess, actually the position leaders in the various positions, who is averaging the most in terms of base and base attack. So I'm going to start off at the top. It's not very inspiring, but it's actually Reece Robson, who's averaging 66-ish on the season, and he's base and base attack sitting at 52.3. I think, you know, you probably agree with this. Hooker's not a fun position this year, right? Even Harry Grant, usually the savior, the highlight of it all, is he's just been mediocre. I mean, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I've got Harry. I'm a Harry owner. Look, I think after round two, we thought Appy Coruscant was our Lord and Saviour. Hasn't that fallen off a cliff? But yeah, Harry's attacking stats just haven't been there. He looks really good in NRL. The Storm Spine are playing well, but yeah, he's not killing it for Supercoach. And Reece Robson is your 80-minute plodder, and he's going well.
Yeah, and the thing with Reece is he's finding a little bit more attack than he normally does, and I think that's obviously bumped him up average-wise. Obviously, you know, he's going at 52.3 points per game, and he's averaging 66, so he's finding 14 points per game in attack, which is pretty handy for Reece. I think his career average is like around 8 or 9, so he's batting well above his normal average. In comparison, Harry Grant, I think his base and base attack is 46.6. That's, you know, down 4 or 5 points there. He's basically playing 80 minutes most weeks. And I think the other issue for him is that his attack, like, it's just not there, right? He's averaging 61. So the attack's around about 15 points per game. Historically, it's sitting around 27 to 30 points per game in attack, which is, you know, that's what we expect from Harry Grant. So that's huge there. Moving to the front row forward, look, there's no surprises here. It's Adam Fanua Blake and you know, Daylight afterwards. Look, I think I could count Payne Haas here, but he's just missed too much time to really be relevant. It's too close to Origin. So if it's basically Fanua Blake or bust. He's averaging 62.8 points per game in base and base attack, averaging 77-ish overall. So, you know, the amount of tries he's scoring, that's where that extra 15 points per game is coming from effectively. But yeah, it's him. And look, there are some other front row forwards thereabouts, but none of that have the same upside. Interestingly, another Warriors forward, Mitch Barnett, is actually quite up there. He's averaging 57.9 points per game, but his overall average is actually 56. So I think it's pretty funny because he's obviously got a lot of errors, penalties, sin bins. He can get himself into a bit of trouble, but yeah, his work rate's up there. It's just minimal upside outside of the work he gets through. At second row forward, the position leader here is actually Patrick Carrigan, averaging 67.2 points per game in base and base attack. Look, that is, I will say, inflated because I think he's had to play extra minutes and also get through a lot more work with Payne Haas being out for a period of time. As Haas returns, his work rate's dropped, as in Carrigan's work rate's dropped, his minutes have dropped a bit. So I think he'll be, you know, reverting to a lower realistic average for the rest of the season as long as Haas stays healthy. The other name here is actually Isaiah Yeo. He's averaging 65.9 points per game in base and base attack, which is obviously really good considering he does have some attacking upside on his end too. I mean, I always go back to it, but how many lock forwards can put in a bomb like he did a couple of rounds ago. That's one of the season highlights I've got already.
Yeah, started on the wing, played in the centres, playing a lot, putting up bombs. See, what can't he do, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, obviously sitting on a 76 average for the season, he's going absolutely gangbusters. I've got him in a couple of drafts, so I'm stoked with that. But, yeah, he's just tough for Classic given the Origin period coming up. So skipping away from forwards, because I think, you know, the list is pretty high with forwards here. But if we move to centre wing, the name that stands out here is Joey Manu. He's averaging 52.2 points per game in base and base attack, which is fantastic involvement. He started off a little bit shaky, had a big first game, and then the second and third games, that work rate drops quite significantly, but he's bounced back in a big way. A lot of it's propped up by him playing some fullback, you know, 1.75 of a game at fullback, but overall he's still heavily involved, and now he's got Dom Young outside him where, you know, if Manu can throw a cheeky offload and then Dom Young can do his work and score, then that offload goes from 4 points to, you know, 24 points basically. Whereas, yeah, sometimes if you don't have a effective winger outside you, you can offload and they don't do anything with it. So that's really good for Manu there. Brian To'o, sitting at 53 points per game. He's right up there with Manu in terms of averages per game. But he's just not scoring as many tries this year as Tarouva, which is funny because he's gone to the side that used to score the most tries for the Panthers. We were all cheering when that happened. But, yeah, unfortunately, Tarouva's getting all the love. Maybe that's a Jerome Luai problem. Who knows? I think we've all expressed some frustration at how little Luai seems to be passing to his outside men. But, yeah, maybe we'll see a little bit more soon. He has been trending in the right direction, so that's good for Bizza. Now, fullback is actually a position that's surprisingly a little bit lower than normal. Of course, though, there is one standout, and that is, you know, surprise, surprise. I'll give you one guess.
Yeah, Dylan Evans.
Yeah, that's it. Averaging 50.8 points per game, which is obviously really good. But the biggest thing for him this year is that he's been picking up the goal kicking. I had no idea he was such a gun goal kicker, but yeah, like he goes from being third string behind Cleary and Critter to being second string, and he's banging them over. You know, really impressive kicker. And yeah, that goal kicking floor for the Panthers is worth quite a lot. And then his increased involvement when Cleary's out, he's obviously a lot more relied upon attacking wise. Edwards is killing it. Cleary's gone for quite a while. Yeah, really keen to bring him into my team, but we'll talk about him a little bit later. Bit of a foreshadowing there, but yeah. Look, Dylan Edwards, he's standout at the moment at fullback, and I think it's hard to argue he's going to stay there. Now, talking about the halves, though, I mean, this is always hard because a lot of the halves do a bit of goal kicking, and that props up their base and base attack floor, I guess you could say. But at halfback, it's Nico Hines, basically, who's leading on a game-by-game basis. It's sitting around 42.3 points per game, which... when you think of the potential upside he's got, plus the goal kicking, that's just still a really safe floor. I mean, there's a reason Hines is back-to-back, you know, top point scorer for Supercoach, right?
Yeah, he just accumulates so well. It's everybody calls him unicorn points or whatever that might be, but yeah, Nico he knows how to score points.
He's the accumulator for a reason. Like that's just the way it is. Like that's what we refer to him as, and he does the job very well. At 5'8", so look, it's always been Dylan Brown for quite some time. It still is Dylan Brown, I think, off the back of a big last game. He's averaging 41.6 points per game, so that was sub-40 for quite a while, and that's very un-Dillbags-like. He's often been around the 45 mark, so he's certainly got himself up there. Now, I will insert the caveat here where actually Max Plath is higher than him, but... obviously, he's 5'8 eligible playing lock forward. So Plath is sitting around 50.1. That's keeping in mind he came off the bench early and the first two games, and then also had the early shower due to being knocked out with the concussion this last game. So that actually was sitting higher even just as recently as last week. So Plath has got a really safe floor there. And I think if, you know, assuming he comes back next week and he's going back to normal, I still think he's a really safe option for a 50 to 55 average plus any attack he might stumble across along the way. And that's a really safe backup 5'8 that I'm really keen to have for the season. So I'm glad I've got him in my team. But yeah, it's certainly not the hottest position, this 5/8 caper, isn't it? I think we've all been struggling with this one.
Yeah, and what's interesting, over the last couple of weeks, call it 4 weeks, it's probably gotten better. It was disgraceful to start with. Dylan Brown's probably had a little bit of form. Munster's playing well. The Galvinator's still doing his thing, and you got Max Platt there as well. So as bad as it is now, it was worse 4 weeks ago. But, it's going to get even worse when people want to move Dilbags to halfback, right?
That's it. I mean, that's the thing. I don't think you would move in the halfback. You probably end up keeping him there. But the problem is obviously, those of us with Nathan Cleary in our teams, we want to replace him. You don't want to go to, a Burton or a Walker or any of those other names, then Dilbags is your next best bet. But he's also the best bet potentially at 5/8. So interesting times coming up for a lot of people. But yeah, look, I think that's enough number diving there. Back to taxes, get in touch with Carl. Tax time's not too far away. Get him to do your tax return. He'll legally maximize your tax refund, whether that's just basics or accounting for things like rental properties, capital gains on shares, even crypto trading. Carl can help you out and record everything correctly. And he is a small business owner, so you'll be speaking directly with Carl, who does all your work. No work is done overseas by international workers or any junior staff, and no minions. It's all Carl doing everything himself. And as a result, he's got very few overheads. He can pass on the savings to his clients. So Carl reminds us that he is doing a special for Supercoach Champions podcast listeners, $99 for a basic tax return, or even if your return's not basic, he'll look after you on price and definitely have a chat to you about Supercoach as well. So definitely look up Carl. That's CarlMcGrath on all the socials. All right, let's chat captains.
Look, man, I only need to know one thing.
Who the hell is this guy?
You and the chosen one!
You think I had a choice?
This is your captain speaking.
Right, so last week I captained Scotty Drinkwater. I was pretty disappointed, let's put it that way, because it's always easy to say this in hindsight, but I genuinely was flirting with the idea. Once I saw the Warriors changes, the center wings and all of that, I really thought of throwing the armband on Dom Young. Didn't go through with it, and I need every point I can get, so that extra 100 or so points would have been really handy this week, but hey. Can't complain too much. At least I still have Dom Young. But how did you go captaincy-wise last week?
My captaincy was probably a bigger tale of woe than yours. I had one in Cleary, and he managed 31. Yeah, it was. Look, I will say there was some upside in that. It meant I played Nico as a reserve, and I could throw the purple armband as a reserve to someone else. So it was looking doom and gloom. For a little while, it didn't turn out as bad as I could have expected, but yeah, that sucks.
It does. I had the VC on Cleary, so that was a little bit of save for me. And as you know, by doing that, I also had Nico as a reserve, so I could, I didn't cop an AE there. But yeah, certainly not great for us Cleary holders or early, buyers after his injury. So let's not dwell on that. let's focus on captaincy for this round. Obviously, magic round. Firstly, the weather's looking pretty good in Brisbane. Obviously, all 8 games on the same surface. So I always wonder, is it better to maybe go with the captain earlier in the round as opposed to you don't want to be the guy captaining someone playing the 8th game of the round on the same surface. So look, we're starting off on the Friday. So for context, I think the forecast for Brisbane is it's going to be raining during the day on Friday, but by the time the games roll around, it'll be nice and clear. I don't think it's heavy rain, so it's just light showers. So the ground should be pretty good, not too concerned. And then Saturday, Sunday both look fine at this stage. So I don't think weather's going to be a big issue, basically, for captaincy, which is always a good start. So I'm going to go out and say I don't think there's anybody in the Raiders Bulldogs that I would look at for captaincy, vice-captaincy. And for Seagulls, Broncos, look, this is where it does get a little bit interesting. I think Reece Walsh, for people, will definitely be on the cards, right?
Yeah, I think Walsh is really the only one there. And he does scream an excellent VC because he is so rocks or diamonds and he can put out a 20 and be in that second game with some murmurs around Nico still. I think it's not a bad shout. If I had Reece Walsh, I'd definitely put the VC on him.
Yep. I totally agree with that one there. So moving on to the third game, which is the first game on the Saturday. So Titans Knights. I think this one's interesting, right? Because there's a lot of troops missing from both teams, more so the Titans. And the rumor's still there for the Knights. They might lose some troops, basically, depending on laid outs, things like that. Look, maybe the man of the moment, Dave Fifita, celebrates his recommitment to the Titans by crashing over for a double. So, look, I think he's a genuine VC option. His base and base attack has been fantastic. He's obviously locked down that 80-minute role again. He's not coming off the bench anymore. So I see Fifita as very safe. Would you agree? Or
yeah, he's definitely safe, right? Who knows who they who does run out on the edges for Newcastle? Could be Frizzell, could be Lucas or Pierce Paul. But yeah, I think it honestly doesn't really matter who Fifita plays against. He still looks like he's under 15s playing in the under 12s.
I think the main thing for him is as long as he can get within, you know, if they get a play of the ball 2 meters out, he's grabbing that and he's burrowing over himself. And I don't think there's too many people in the NRL who can stop him from a meter or two out. So the guy is just an absolute beast. That said, I don't know if there's anyone else in this game that I would look at. I think the Knights have potential. Like, I mean, you know, maybe is it Greg Marju? Is it Dane Gagai? One of those guys worth a VC?
Yeah, look, if Bradman Best plays, there's every chance I might look to VC Greg Marju because I think the Titans are going to be really bad. They've got three hookers. Well, two hookers and a lock filling their spine positions. So I would love to just go all in on Greg the Leg because similar to Fifita, it's not as good, but you'd like to think his floor is somewhere around the 50. Throw in two meaties and you've got 100 quite comfortably.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for him is like when he first came back from his injury, his work rate was down. He wasn't busting tackles. But like, yeah, so the lack of tackle busting was concerning, but the last two games, I think, definitely been much better and I feel like a big ton's on its way. So one of the things I always do with Magic Round is I want to trade in guys I'm going to be able to watch and cheer on in person. That's not always worked that well because, you know, it resulted in me bringing in Mulatalo last round with a bad matchup. He scored like 30. I think the very, very first Magic Round I traded in Tom Dearden as a rookie, like second game rookie, just because I wanted to cheer him on. It was, you know, let's just say drinks and Supercoach. I'm sure I'm not the only one to share this. It can be a lethal combination. But this is why I'm saying I'm just going to go ahead and pre-plan my trade to someone who's going to play. And Greg Marju is high on the list right now.
That's excellent.
He's bottomed out. I mean, as you say, that Titans team is disgusting right now. So, yeah, I actually quite like that. As a VC shout, like I'm going to bring him in, slap the VC on him and hopefully cash in later. But yeah, let's keep going to the next game. That's the Sharks and the Roosters. Obviously, look, Nico's an every round option, but I do feel this is like the matchup, the calf, everything. If he even plays, right, I just think can't go to Nico, right?
No, you can't. I'm a Nico owner in both Classic and Draft and I'm not confident about this week even if he does play. The Roosters look good, so... Oh, I'd be looking at my captaincy and vice-captaincy over the other side of the fence, definitely not on the Sharks side this week.
Do you think there's anybody from the Roosters that you'd be really keen to vice-captain? I know one of the things the Sharks have done very well is that they've still defended quite well and they've not leaked a lot of points. I mean, even the Storm last week, they scored a fair few points against them and the Supercoach scores weren't massive. So I'm almost thinking like as much as the Roosters are on a heater, I might actually stay away from them for, you know, definitely for captaincy. I mean, VC maybe you could throw, I mean, the way Dom Young's going, but he doesn't have Joey Manu this week, right? So that could cap his ceiling too.
Yeah, as soon as I said the other side of the fence, I saw you look a little bit concerned and I immediately remembered Joey Manu wasn't playing. So there really isn't anyone there, is there? Like Sam Walker, I can't trust him against the Sharks. The Sharks have really good defensive outside backs now that they've moved Talakai to the bench. Like Ramian and Iro are absolutely killing it out there. So, yeah, I think this game is... Yeah. I'd love to be there, right? I think this could be one of the matches of the round if Nico plays. 5:30, it'll be like beautiful weather. Beers will be cold. You'll be trending towards sweet ones by then potentially. It just all bodes well, doesn't it?
I'm really keen for this this game. Like the other two matchups for the game, for the day, let's just say the footy's not the highlight, but this game would be one of them. So really keen for it. And obviously, third game, Rabbitohs and Cowboys. Look, the Rabbitohs are through the walls. They're a little bit healthier than they were last week. And the Cowboys are just really, really struggling away from Townsville right now, right? even in Townsville last week, they just got beat by the Dolphins. It's just, it's not good times for them. But Scotty Drinkwater captaincy is on the cards for me again. I'm going to go back to the well. Drinky only scored 59, right? But like there was that try where Val just literally had to fall down, straight down, he would have scored. He's just trying to improve the position, got blindsided and dropped the ball. Horrible. Valame dropped like three tries, it felt like, off Drinky passes. Some of them weren't the best passes, but a better winger probably does the job. So it really, really frustrates me that he left his teammates left a ton out there for him last week. I feel like they get it together, it could happen this round. So yeah, I'm likely VC Greg, C Drinky for me this week.
That's interesting, right? Probably not in the captaincy talk, but at one stage yesterday, I did have Drinky as my trade-in. I've since changed that to Dom Young. You're an owner of both. I'm interested to see if you could go one of them. It means I'm playing my two fullbacks currently, Armstrong and Jonathan Voivod. But yeah, would you go Drinky or Dom Young as a bot?
Do you have Joey Manu?
I do not have Joey Manu.
Okay. Because I was going to say, if you don't have Manu, like Young, I feel like I want someone at least from the right edge. I don't know if I want both, depending on how many other Roosters and other players you've got. It's a great, you know, it's almost like vibes of like Leipana back in the day and that kind of, you know, BJ Lelour and Rapana just cashing in together. So that could go really well, but it's just really hard to navigate with the buyer's schedule the way it is. So I do think, like, I'd love to have Dom Young. He's just been averaging really, really well, aside from the game where he got sent off and the 30 he got against the Panthers. Aside from that, he's been 50-plus every game and obviously two 150-plus scores. So I'd have to lean Young. That said, I feel like Drinky could outscore him this round, but depends if you're, you know, if it's the round 11 magic round vibes you're chasing, or do you want a more sensible trade for the rest of the season?
I'm sensible trade for the rest of the season, please. Wilf, I'm running out of trade.
I think, like, Drinky could still come into the team next week, right? So his break-even's around, like, 67 from memory. And so for that reason, like, yeah, he's not like his draw just ends. It's going to still be good. He's going to still play round 13. So, yeah, I guess with Dom Young, it's kind of, in a way, it's almost now or never, right? That 160 in the negative 31 break-even is not going to help you get him in next week. So, yeah, I have to lean Young there.
Thank you.
All right, let's keep that moving. Val's probably a consideration. Again, you know, he could have been easily on an 80-plus score if he could put the ball down and whatever. But, yeah, I guess if you don't have Drinky, then he's in the cards. I mean, do you give the Rabbitohs any chance in this game?
I do, actually. I really do. I think it's hard to write them off because they're really not that bad. They've got some interesting outside back choices this week, so it could be that bad this week. But they've still got Latrell Mitchell. They've still got Cody Walker. Kalama Tummy's there. Like, they're not, put it this way, their side is definitely on paper better than something like the Dragons or those guys. But, yeah, they suck.
I feel like they'll score points, right? That you can't have that much firepower and not be able to score some points. But at the same time, I just don't know how they're going to defend points, because I think, let's face it, Latrell's not the best defensive fullback. and you know, some of the other guys there are more than happy to fall off a tackle or two. So I do think that for that reason, even if the Rabbitohs win, I feel like it's like a, you know, 28-26, 34-32 kind of shootout, similar to what we got with the, you know, Finns and Cowboys last round, right?
Yeah, perfect game.
Plenty of Supercoach
perfect
points.
Perfect game to watch on a Saturday night, right? 34-32.
Yeah, with your captain playing and obviously numerous drinks deep. Onto the Sunday game. So Warriors and Panthers. I think the Panthers, Dylan Edwards, if you got him. And I know, like, I really wanted to bring him in this round. I was going to, but then I saw he was playing Sunday. I was like, no, can't do it. I'm not going to be on Sunday. So the vibes just don't align there for me. But, yeah, I think Dylan Edwards, he's a really safe bet. You know, the Wars are just not the Waz this year, unfortunately. SJ's out. Like, this could be a cricket score. I think the Panthers, if they're in a mood. The only caveat to that is obviously Jack Cole partnering Luai in the halves. That could be a little bit of a different one. Not sure, but I just feel like the Panthers are too good. They've got enough firepower. They're going to be able to just get it done, basically.
Yeah. Like, they've rolled in Schneider and who was last year Sean O'Sullivan, and nothing changes, right? They just they do their thing.
Yeah, I knew Cleary is just a system halfback, right?
Yeah, he is.
Storm and Eels. So obviously there's a few names here for the Storm still missing, Jerome Hughes being one of them, but Munster's there. Is he a captaincy option?
Yeah, well, I'm a big believer in bounce back, so I'm also somewhat thinking about Harry Grant as well there. I know that's unpopular opinion, but yeah, Parramatta suck, and they still don't have Moses back. So, yeah, I see. I don't know what happened. What did Ethan Sanders do wrong? We've gone back to Dejan Arce. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because I didn't think Sanders was too bad, but I do feel maybe like there were a lot of mistakes made last game where it just didn't click. The last passes weren't sticking. The Eels, I thought they were playing pretty good. Like they were matching it with the Broncos physically, but they just, you know, they didn't have the polish to get it done. And that's probably, you know, Moses being missing. So that said, I just don't think they're going to be able to handle the Storm. So look, I have fond memories of Munster going 160 on the Eels at Magic Round a number of years ago. So I could see a repeat of that. I don't think it's going to be 60-6 or whatever it was that time, but that was the first time we got to see Pappenhausen in action. I think like 30-minute cameo off the bench, got 119. It was amazing. But yes, fond memories. And I'm just going to say it, I'm going to stay away from that last game, Tigers and Dolphins. I know you could look at Asako and guys like that, but not the final game on Magic Round, eighth game on that surface, just asking for trouble, I reckon.
Yeah, it'll be a close game, I think. Another good game of football, hopefully.
Possibly. Yeah, and look, just to be clear, I know there's been some criticism of the Suncorp surfer or surface or whatever, but like, there's never been a higher injury toll or anything like that in any other round. So like those concerns, those rumors, whatever, it just never comes to fruition. That said, I'm not going to play with fire and deliberately target the final game on a surface that's just had seven other games played on it to captain. So I'm going to still lean to someone early in the round. All right, let's deep dive on the captaincy. Let's really quickly jump over to some strategy chat.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
All right, so I'm going to, I think, you know, in the course of our conversation there, I've already kind of touched on a number of the strategic points there, but I wanted to spend, like, this is round 11, round 13, Origin teams, they're very much on the way. Round 13 being the first major bye, and, you know, we're not going to have Origin players that week. So I wanted to spend some time just speculating. I know it's speculation, but we have to make decisions on trade-ins. Like, let's start with Dylan Edwards, right? Because a lot of people see the appeal. It makes sense. When Cleary's been out, Edwards is averaging like over 100, I think, from memory. Like, don't fact check me on that. It's definitely 90 plus, if not 100 plus. Outside of that, I think Edwards is still sitting at maybe a 70 average with Cleary, but he's definitely doing better without him. So I can see the appeal. He's obviously really expensive. He's going to be hard to bring in. That said, do you think he plays Origin in game one?
If it has to be a yes or no answer, I think the answer is no. I don't think he plays Origin in round one. In game one. What do you think?
I lean that way too. And I think the answer is because there's no Nathan Cleary. That makes me think Dylan Edwards might make it. Not because it's the club combination thing, although I know the Blues love doing that, but I think it's the loss of the rep experience, right? They don't want to, blood a debutant, albeit one who's won three premierships and, you know, played in a very, very good team. But you can't lose Cleary and then also lose Tedesco at the same time. Now, the only concern I have, and it's a very slight concern, I don't think the Blues are going to do this, but they may pick Teddy at fullback and Dylan Edwards on the wing. I don't think that's a good idea, but they might do that. That's the only hesitation I have. Otherwise, I just don't think Dylan Edwards is going to play Origin this round, this game anyway. Maybe he comes in later in the series, but that doesn't matter right now for us.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, if the series goes as planned and Queensland win the first two, look, I think he might play the third one, but... yeah, he's not playing game one.
I like that. Series goes as planned. Absolutely. Now, on that, do we think Teddy's the fullback then? That makes sense, right? As I think for all the reasons, it just makes sense to keep him there. He's playing well enough. His own form's not as bad as it was last year, and he got a run still. So, yeah, I feel pretty confident Teddy's going to be fullback for the Blues round one. That probably makes guys like Drinkwater and other guys like that pretty safe, right? No need to worry about him.
Nah, Drinkwater's safe as ours.
The biggest question probably then goes to the halves, right? So, you know, no Cleary, does that mean? Is it Nico Hines season? Is it Matt Burton? Is it Mitch Moses if he somehow gets a game in before round 13? There's a few big question marks there, aren't there?
Yeah, yeah. I think, look, if Nico's, again, this is all just my opinion here. If Nico's cast good, I think he's a lock in there. And Matt Burton is a lock as well. I don't know if it's in the 6 or the 18 or the 3 or the 4. But, yeah, look, I'm pretty confident Burton's a lock. So, yeah, where does Moses fit in there, I guess?
Yeah, which is really tough, right? Because Burton is one of the, you know, few names that a lot of people are looking at to replace Cleary. Burton's been on an absolute tear. He's been playing really, really well, scoring well for Supercoach. And, yeah, a big reason the Bulldogs have been competitive. So I do like that call, but I'm with you. He's either 6 or he's like the perfect 18th man. Like, it could even be the utility. Who knows? It just seems like he's so versatile and you know, that big body. He can handle some time in the middle and the forwards if he had to. Yeah, I just think he's really good shout for that role. At the hooker position, that's quite a difficult one, right? Because we had a mix. Like, we had Damien Cook, we had Appy Coruscant, we had Reece Robson on the bench last year. On form, do we think Robson should be the hooker?
I think the hooker's not getting that much airtime, but I really do think it's a three-way race with Appy, Robson, and then throw in, it sounds like all the talk is
Blake Brayley. Well,
all the talk is McInnes is going to be there, right? Blake Brayley might get a job at halfback the way he went last week. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm going to throw to you for the hookers because I'm all out of it.
Look, I'm just guessing myself, but I would, if I had to guess, I think Appy and Robson might be the combo. To me, that makes sense. Like, Appy's obviously really experienced and you know, his own form has been pretty good outside of like the games where he's been injured. Robson, you know, he's been playing really well and he had a go last year. I know incumbency doesn't always really matter, especially when you're a bench guy, but like you can chuck McInnes as 14, right? He could be an option. So I don't know if it's both of them, one of them. It is really hard. So that said, you know, Appy doesn't play around 13, so that's not an issue. It's more those who have Robson. You're holding him if you got him regardless, but you know, you probably don't want to bring him in expecting round 13 coverage because I do think he's very close. So that worries me a little bit there. Look, you could probably speculate about the wingers and the centers. Like, the Blues team is very much up in the air. I think that's because obviously new coach, we don't know what Madge is going to do. To me, I feel like, you know, Brian To'o and Zach Lomax should be the wingers. That's where I would go if I was Blues coach, but obviously I'm not. They should pick Dylan Edwards on the wing and maybe chuck Stephen Crichton out there as well or something like that. But I do think those two make the most sense for me, like Brian To'o, an incumbent, plus also, you know, we've seen him absolutely turn up in the big games, on Origin, Grand Finals, whatever it might be, he can perform. Lomax is arguably the form winger of the comp right now. I mean, he's leading the Dally M votes for wingers. Not that that means a lot for us, but... To me, I'd be surprised if he's not, you know, somewhere in the mix there, which is obviously tough because Lomax is going really well in Supercoach. So
yeah, and they don't have that bye in round 13 either, right? So you would have thought, yeah, when you started with him, he was going well, you're going to hold him all the way through. But yeah, I think Toto's a lock. I'm not so sure about Lomax. I know Addo Carr is a big Origin guy. Yeah, I don't know. I'm very curious.
Yeah, and obviously the back line, like Turbo and Latrell were stalwarts in the centres for a while, but Latrell wasn't around last year and Turbo obviously missed half the series as well. So, you know, Bradman Best was there last year, Stephen Crichton's thereabouts as well. It does seem very up in the air. Like, I mean, even Jesse Ramien got some hype for a little bit. That's wild to me. Like, I get it, he's having a pretty good season, but he's not Origin ready. He's not the Origin type either. Way too many errors, lapses in concentration. Just, yeah, I think the Queenslanders would love it if Ramien got picked, but that's just me.
Yeah.
Any controversial bits on the Queensland side? I feel like their lineup, for the most part, is very settled. I know they're missing some forwards, so maybe the speculation might be who replaces Diotinos and Gilberts and guys like that, but I feel like, for the most part, yeah, their spine's set. It's going to be Walsh, Munster, DCE, and obviously Harry Grant combined with Ben Hunt. It's a proven formula. It works. And obviously Ponga's out injured, so that removes him from the conversation there. Hammer's probably going to send a spot. Cobbo's in there somewhere.
Yeah, this is where, to me, this is where it gets interesting. I think we've got five guys going for four spots, two through five, right? There's Hammer, Val, Cobbo, Coates, and even Talangi if he shows up this week, right? I don't know who misses out there, in your opinion.
Yeah, I feel like maybe Talangi because he hasn't played. Like that said, Coates missed a fair bit of time too, but I feel like Coates has a little bit more, I don't know. He was probably in better form before his injury than Talangi was. But Talangi's got that proven club combo with Val. Obviously, Coates has, you know, Munster and Grant, kind of that combo as well. So it's an interesting one. But otherwise, I think it'd be Fifita and Nane on the edges. Cotter, Carrigan, they'll be all in there. I guess Flegler out as well makes a bit of a difference. And so, you know, Corey Jensen got some hype just before. It's getting wild.
I'm hoping Hopgood gets a jersey. I reckon Hopgood's a sneaky sniff for a 17 jersey just to come on
it. Yeah, I wouldn't mind some Hopgood as well. And Jen Suar, I think, probably a bit of a forgotten one. He's done pretty well in Origin in his limited chances, but, you know, he was injured for a lot of last year too. So, yeah, it'll be really interesting how that pack shakes out. I mean, Fotuweka has done the job in the past, although his form, I don't feel like it's been that good for the Titans. So, yeah, I'm keen for the series, that's for sure, but... Yeah, I feel like in terms of planning ahead right now, right, for Origin, for the buys, are you just what's your general approach? Are you just avoiding these guys or are you happy to roll the dice a little bit?
I think avoid Origin guys if possible. The amount of injuries we've seen, it makes me nervous for the rounds 14, 17 and 20, how many of these guys back up. So not only do you miss them in 13, 16, 19, you also... I don't think they're going to try and back many people up where people are going down like, yeah, God knows what. So, look, I'd stay away from Origin players. And I think we sort of undersell the difficulty. Well, yeah, some people undersell the difficulty in rounds 14, 17 and 20. And that's where it's up in the air until game day for a lot of those Origin guys. And I don't need that sort of stress in my life.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. And we've... Last 2 weeks, I've been banging on about how many Roosters, Dolphins and Raiders you're going to have for round 14 because they're great for coverage. And the problem is they're good for multiple rounds. It's not just round 13, but it's also round 16 or round 13 and 19. Like, or in Dolphins' case, it's all three big buy rounds. Like, you want to have those guys in there, but it's a fine line. Like, you only have 25 spots. Maybe you got one or two nuffs in there who are just injured or not making cash, so you can't move them on. You're down to 23. You got six of those guys already. If you've got six Raiders, Roosters or Dolphins players, then you're down to 17 only for the rest of your squad to choose from. And you've got to roll out 17 around 14. That task gets so hard. And maybe you're like, well, I'm going to trade out one of them. Like maybe you've hung on to like a Morgan Smithies and you'll trade him out afterwards. But that's one guy, right? You're still going to need to find other guys. And, you know, in your 17, you know, that probably still includes a bench forward like, I don't know, Liam Henry, right? Someone like that. And yeah, you can scrape a 17 together, but you can't just have eyes on round 13. And look, we bang on about it, but it's a good reminder for a reason because I think you're making choices based off that. And part of that is why I'm like, you know, as much as I do want to have Joey Manu and Dom Young, I think I'm resigning my fate to not having Manu, at least for round 13. Doesn't mean I might not bring him in later, but round 13, I might go without him, which is a bit scary there, but yeah. All right, look, I think that's enough chat for strategy for this week. There's obviously a lot more to think about, but Magic Round's on the cards. My last recommendation is make sure, you know, I've been going on about the vibes, but it's a real thing. Like, if you're there, you want to have a good time. You'll have a good time watching your guy run around. And if they flop, you've got plenty of opportunities to have a drink and drown your sorrows. So it's a pity you can't make it, but I hear you're off to the races, so enjoy that. Last reminder, 12 p.m. at the Newstead Brewery, just opposite the stadium. We'll be there at the table, so be a good time for anyone. Come up and say hi. I'll be there, obviously, and unfortunately Joe won't be, but I think you'll recognize a few of the other names that will be joining us. I think Lakey from the Supercoach Talk mob and some of the other guys might be coming along too. So come say hi, and otherwise, good luck. Enjoy your Magic Round if you're making the trek up from wherever you come from, or if you're obviously Brisbane-based, be responsible. Don't go too hard. But thanks again for jumping on, Manny. Always good to chat, and I think we'll catch you again in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, mate, will do. Thanks for having me. And, look, wish I could be there. I'll I hope you guys
next
have,
year. Yeah, right?
We keep year. Saying that, right? But look,
book it in. Plan your leave now.
Yeah, I'll do my best. Yeah. I'll do my best. Have a good time.
Cheers, mate. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. See you guys soon.